The Braves are heading to Philly for a four-game series in Citizens Bank Park starting tonight. Can Philadelphia hold on to keep the lead in the National League East? Break down the matchups and the series on a special happy hour edition of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on into a special happy hour edition of First Pitch. I'm Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today. He's Christian Rau, National MLB writer. And this is a pivotal series for the season and one of the bigger series of the weekend. It's not the only significant matchup here, but this is the Atlanta Braves, 73-60, five games back in the East, a very unfamiliar position for them to be in late August, against the Philadelphia Phillies, who are trying to win the division, a division that they've led almost all season, but one that Atlanta has won the last six, I believe it's 6 years straight. Atlanta has the advantage in the season series, but needs to probably win three out of four to make this a real race for the division down the stretch. Let's look at these four games, Christian, starting on Thursday night, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Charlie Morton goes for the Braves against Christopher Sanchez, and they're coming into these starts at different places, right? Charlie Morton's last three starts, he's 1-0 with a 2.65 ERA, three consecutive really good outings. Christopher Sanchez, last three starts, 1-2 with a 5.03 ERA. Based on the recent history of the last three starts for each guy, plus the fact that the Phillies haven't seen Morton yet this year, who has the advantage in this matchup?
I'm sticking with the Braves here. I think the Braves have the matchup right away, because not only do they have the pitching matchup that is interesting between Morton and Sanchez, but look at where they just came from. The Braves just swept the Twins. Philly's coming off a tough loss to the Houston Astros in the series finale. So I'm gonna stick with the Braves to start off it. But you got to be pretty excited if you're a Phillies fan, knowing that you get Sanchez starting off on this series. He's been pretty good as of late. He had that complete game just two starts ago, and then that's his second complete game of the season. After his first complete start, he was terrible in the start afterwards. That wasn't the case in his last start against the Braves. He let up three runs. He went six innings. He looked pretty good in that start against the Braves. He did get the loss, but he did look pretty good. So regardless of that, now we're playing at home. And Sanchez hasn't been the best, if I remember. He hasn't been as good at Citizens Bank Park compared to on the road. Is that right?
Yeah, it's some really interesting splits here. For Sanchez, he's been much better at home. He has a 2.18 ERA and a 7-3 record in Citizens Bank Park. On the road, it's 2-6 with a 5.43 ERA. So virtually night and day between home and away. I don't know if that's just kind of random. 13 starts at home, 12 on the road feels like a large enough sample size where it should be a meaningful sample size, right? Maybe it's the dimensions of the ballpark. Maybe it's the environment. Not quite sure what it is, but he has performed much, much better at home than on the road. And that kind of makes me feel like this is maybe a little more balanced than I think we're giving Philly the credit for, right? Like you kind of touched on, he had a complete game, you know, then he struggled some outings after that, but he went against Atlanta last week, 8 strikeouts to only 1 walk. Yes, he gave up 9 hits, 3 runs, but Atlanta's not as terrifying of a team against lefties this season as they have historically been. That being said, 0-3 with a 5.19 ERA in his last three starts against Atlanta. So, I mean, there's no way to know when these two teams get together, but it feels like this is one that slanted a little bit towards Atlanta simply on the pitching matchup, simply because Morton's been better recently. Sanchez has not been better recently. Sanchez also has not had a ton of success against Atlanta in his career. And at least Morton has been decent against Philly. Last five starts, 0-2, 5.20 ERA, but he's got, you know, blow up in there. Then he's got 6 2/3 scoreless in there as well. So close. I think I'm giving it to Atlanta though.
What would Morton have to do? I know he's been consistent as of late. I think he hasn't had a bad start since that Milwaukee start, which was really bad. But what does Morton have to do to stick to Philly in this series opener? Like, what is it? 5 innings? Is it 6 innings? What do you need from Charlie Morton?
I think you need, ideally, you need a quality start. You need 6 innings, 3 runs. The bullpen's a little bit taxed. You had an extra innings game. You had a starter leave early against the Twins. So ideally, you need 6 innings and 3 runs or less from Morton. I think the big thing here is going to be he has to be careful not to let mistake fastballs hurt him. Philly has historically been pretty good at hitting fastballs. Since the All-Star break, they haven't gotten a ton of them. Atlanta's plan when they went that series last weekend was not to throw too many fastballs to Philly. Morton gave up 4 runs in 6 innings. He kind of didn't necessarily, I'm sorry, that was last year. Some of the Braves pitchers executed that plan pretty well. Morton's obviously a big curveball guy. I feel like that's what he has to do. He has to make it through 6 innings. He has to keep it under 3 runs or 3 runs or less for Atlanta to have the bullpen able to finish off the series when you don't have you probably don't have your studs and Joe Jimenez and Raisel Iglesias available.
And I think with Sanchez, I think it might not matter because he's gone the distance and he's gone 6 innings, but I think it's really going to live up to the bullpen of Philadelphia. Cause even though, you know, last start with Walker and their really bad loss to Houston, even though that was a dreadful loss yesterday, the bullpen wasn't that much great either. So if, you know, Sanchez, if he can go as long as he possibly can, that's huge for Philadelphia, because I think the least amount of usage of that bullpen on Thursday night for the Phillies is probably the best for this team moving forward.
See, I'm going to counter and I'm going to say, I don't think it matters what Sanchez does, provided he doesn't get blown up. It's down to the offense. They scored 6 runs in that 3-game series against Atlanta last week. And the big three at the top of the order had a combined 2 hits.
Great.
So, I don't think it matters what Sanchez does. If Harper, Schwarber, and Turner combine for 1 hit, it doesn't matter what Christopher Sanchez does. They're probably not going to win. They won one of those 3 games. It was 3-2, and it was they've got to get offense on top of the order against Charlie Morton. It feels like some of these guys have had success against Morton in their careers. Bryce Harper has a 1.222 OPS. And 37 at-bats against Charlie Morton. Kyle Schwarber, 26 at-bats, is a 1.023 OPS. Like, they've had some success. Trey Turner has not. He has a 457 OPS and 18 at-bats. But the other two guys have had success off of Morton. They just have to take advantage of the mistakes that Morton makes. He'll make a mistake. He's 40 years old. They have to take advantage of it because they've historically been good. And if they're not good, Philly's not going to win.
I'll go just quick on this because I know we got 3 other games to talk about in this happy hour of this series, but you mentioned this offense. I think out of those three, the big three, I think Kyle Schwarber is the one to really pay attention to the most. He has been really cold the last 7 games, and that includes obviously some of the Atlanta games, but in his last 7, Lindsay, 143, 273, 250 slug. Kyle Schwarber, we're talking Kyle Schwarber with a lower slug than OBP right now. So there's a problem there, and I think if it's important, I would even say paramount for Kyle Schwarber to get on par this weekend if Philadelphia wants to do something good against these Braves.
Well, you know, thankfully Kyle Schwarber's given you plenty of value when it comes to stolen bases and defense, so he can afford to be bad of the bat for a little while. Right. Okay, looking at Friday night's game 2, again, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, still traditional broadcast, NBC for Phillies, Bally Sports Southeast for Braves. Saturday and Sunday are the weird broadcasts here. But Ronaldo Lopez versus Ranger Suarez. Again, a situation where, based on recent performance, Atlanta comes in with an advantage. Lopez has a 1.29 ERA in his last 3 starts. No decisions, but a 1.29 ERA. Ranger Suarez is 1-2 with a 4.41. So a situation here where last couple outings, they haven't necessarily been great. But then when you when you look at what they have done in games against the other team, right? Like, that's your big question here. 2 starts this year for Lopez against Philadelphia, 11 innings, 1 run, 16 strikeouts. You flip around for Sanchez. He's got two starts against Atlanta, a no decision, and a loss. In July, he gave up 5 earned runs in 5 innings. The end of March, he gave up 3 earned runs in 5 innings in a no decision that I believe Atlanta went on to win. So just on paper right there, it feels like game 2 is an advantage to Atlanta as well in the starting pitching matchup.
Yeah, I mean, he gave up 2 home runs in that loss in July to Atlanta, but I will push back a little bit on this with Ranger Suarez and say that that last start and that ERA you gave in the last 3, 2 of those starts are pre-injury. He's just returning from that injury. That's came back on the 24th, and he had a pretty decent return against the Royals. Now, he had a lot of offensive help, something that was not the key in the last Atlanta series, but he had a lot of offensive help in that Kansas City game. I think JT Realmuto had 7 RBIs in just that game alone. So he went 5 innings. He only let up 1 run in that start. He had 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. If he can have that kind of performance with obviously some offensive help, then I think it's a lot more of a challenge for the Braves. But if you look at what he's done recently post All-Star break before the injury as well, then yeah, that's when I think the concern comes in. But I would push back just a little bit. I think Ranger Suarez, I don't think we saw everything that we could expect of him. And he was an All-Star pitcher for the team this year. In that first return for the play from his injury. So I could see him maybe opening up a little bit more. So I'd be a little cautious with this start if I was the Braves.
That's right. I completely forgot he was out for a month, and that was the first start after he came back. So maybe some questions about how deep he'll go. He did only go 5 innings through 72 pitches.
Yeah, it was only
Kansas City.
Yeah, not much. Now, I will say that that was probably because of the score as well. I'm not sure if he could have went farther. He had a pitch limit. I remember Troy Brock going over it on InsideThePhillies.com saying that the pitch limit was 85-90, but he came out at 72. So,
yeah. So another little, you know, question about how that's going to go there. Neither pitchers really had any significant issues with guys on the other team. Bohm is 3-for-5 against Lopez, but they're all small sample sizes. 5 at-bats here, 4 at-bats here. I will say, I do think that Suarez gets a break by Ozzie Albies having a broken wrist, because Ozzie Albies this season is 3-for-5 with 2 bombs off of Ranger Suarez. So probably works out well for the Phillies that Ozzie will not play in this game. Again, he's not due back until sometime in mid-September. Go into Saturday. This is where your broadcasts get a little bit different. It's a 7:15 p.m. start on Saturday on Fox National Broadcast. Max Fried versus Zach Wheeler. Here we go. This is the big stuff we're talking about. Both pitchers have been pretty decent recently. Fried's 1-1 with a 3.12 ERA in his last 3 starts. Wheeler is 1-1 with a 2.50 ERA in his last 3 starts. So 2 games where you feel like, honestly, either team can win. Neither hitter has really had significant issues with anybody on the other side. I think really your only thing is, what is it? Travis d'Arnaud has hit Zach Wheeler really well. OPS just over 1,000. And then for Philly, JT Realmuto, 45 career at-bats, OPS over 1,000 against Fried. So he's hit Fried really well. I'm sorry, Turner as well. Turner has a 1.039 OPS and 41 at-bats. So 2 guys who have done well historically there. But it feels like either team can win this one because both guys, incredibly talented, have been pitching really well down the stretch and are having pretty strong seasons.
Yeah, when we predicted the series last time between these two, I said that the Braves were going to win the series 2-1, which I was right on, but I was wrong on the way that they did it. I thought that the only win that Philly was going to get was the Wheeler start, and that wasn't the case. However, Zach Wheeler has still been absolutely incredible this season. I think he winds up being the runner-up for the National League Cy Young when it's all said and done. In the month of August, Lindsay, he has had 5 starts. In all 5 starts, he has quality starts. All of them. All 5 in August. And it's actually 6 of the last 7 if you go back to the All-Star break. He only has 1, and it's against New York Yankees post-All-Star break where he hasn't had a quality start. So he's been absolutely incredible. I think this is going to be the pitching matchup of the weekend. I think this is the one that if you have to pick one game to watch, I think this is the one that you tune into.
Yeah, which is tough because it's also the first day of college football, right?
Yeah, so true.
But I mean, you look at Wheeler's making his 3rd start against Atlanta this year, the first one back in March in that opening series, no runs, Five hits, six innings, no walks, five strikeouts, takes a no decision, gets a start against them last week. Bad luck loss. Quality start, two runs on six hits, no walks, eight strikeouts, takes a loss in a 3-2 Braves victory. So kind of some bad luck there. Flip side, Fried really struggled against Philly. He's made three starts against them this year. The first one was that 2/3 of an inning with three runs allowed, threw 40-something pitches, came out in the first. The second start, July 5th, was five runs on 11 hits in six innings. He took the loss. But last week, two runs, four hits, in seven innings. No decision, but Fried's righted the ship recently. I feel like Max Fried's finally gotten away from that injury. When he came back from the injury mid-July, he had a rocky start in Colorado. Happens to a lot of people.
Oh, for sure.
Rocky start in San Francisco, and then quality start against Philly, and then was one inning away from a quality start and only had one earned run in five innings against the Twins. This is the pitching matchup, and I think this is the game that could go either way. And I think I'm going to go on a limb and say this is the game where the team that wins this game is probably the team that's going to win the series, assuming it doesn't end in a tie.
That's a good point. I think that's a good way to say that. I think we might be going into Saturday with it being even, and that wouldn't be surprising to me. His last start, Minnesota, that was the one that had that weird rain delay, too. That's the reason why his pitch count was so low.
Yeah. Yeah. Fried pitched the first inning, a rain delay of 86 minutes. He went out and played catch twice, about 15 minutes each, trying to simulate the cadence of a up and down and up and down. And so when he came back, he only had four more innings in him. That's why he only went five innings. Totaled like 76 pitches, but two 15 pitch catch sessions means he threw 105 or so that day. We just only got 76 of them in the game.
I'm excited to see that series. I think this pitching matchup is going to be the one to watch. And I kind of wish it wasn't on Saturday, because I'm sure my focus is going to be shifted with multiple sports, but there'll be no doubt that this will be on one of the big screens for sure. Shout out to my wife, by the way, for just giving me a whole bunch of TVs. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Shout out. And then Sunday, September 1st, the first day that rosters expand. So you could see an additional player, both pitcher and position player on each team for this game. Spencer Schwellenbach versus Aaron Nola on Sunday Night Baseball, 7:10 p.m. There'll be a StatCast broadcast, I'm sure. Always love those.
The nerd.
But this is something where Spencer Schwellenbach is one of the more underrated pitchers in baseball as a rookie. 1-1 with a 2.76 ERA in his last three starts. Aaron Nola's been even better. 1-0 with a 0.95 ERA in his last three starts. Aaron Nola's been virtually untouchable in his last three outings. So I don't really know if there's any significant, like, the Aaron Nola's the easy one to say. Philly has the advantage here because of how good Aaron Nola's been. But Schwellenbach in his two starts against Philly this year, three total runs on 10 hits and 12 2/3 innings. He's 2-0 with a 2.13 ERA, one walk to 15 strikeouts. So he's been pretty good. Flip side, this is Nola's fourth start of the year against Atlanta, including second in a row. He took a no decision last week, two runs on eight hits and 5 1/3, through exactly 100 pitches. He's also allowed five homers to Atlanta this season. Don't quite know what to think here, because the surface numbers, the recent production point Nola, but the history against these teams point towards Atlanta.
I'm super interested in this one. I think Schwellenbach is going to be, and we mentioned it on the show a couple weeks ago. Not even, I think it was the beginning of this week, actually. I asked you, do you think Schwellenbach has ace material? And I think this could be a nice spotlight game on Sunday Night Baseball to show the nation that he has this. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for this one. But Aaron Nola, you mentioned it. He has been lights out his last three starts. That last start against Houston, it was his best start all season, minus the complete game he had earlier in the year. I thought we saw a prime Aaron Nola, like, type of, if he would have had that all season, we're talking Cy Young candidate. Like what we saw 5 years ago from Aaron Nola, we saw it in his last start. So if he brings that out, good luck, Atlanta. We're in for some trouble. But those home runs, Lindsay, it's a problem. It's an issue against Atlanta. Five of them you mentioned. He had one of them in his last start. That's actually the last time he let up a home run, was against the Braves. It's just something that he has had an issue with all season long. He's let up a lot of home runs actually this year. It's got better, 23, and it's got better this month. At least he's only let up four across five starts this month. But again, one of them is against Atlanta. I'm going to go out on a limb. I said this in last series preview when we talked Braves and Phillies. I'm going to say it again. If Nola can limit the home runs, if he can keep it to zero, I think that Philly can run away with this game. But if he lets up a couple home runs or maybe even just one like he did in the last start, the Braves got a chance.
Yeah, the thing that I think gives Philly fans some hope is of the five home runs that Atlanta has hit off of Aaron Nola this year, Austin Riley has one. He's out. Ozzie Albies has two. He's out. You have Orlando Arcia with one and Matt Olson with one. So, you know, some of the guys, Marcell Ozuna has 1-for-9 against him this season. Ozuna has obviously been the best hitter on the Braves. Ramon Laureano, who's been surprisingly good for the Braves, is 1-for-3. So a lot of the damage that's been done off of Aaron Nola is guys who are not on this roster right now because they're on the injured list. And I think that's probably a reason to feel cautiously optimistic about Aaron Nola. I'm not going to say turn it around because they've not been bad again. He's not been bad against Atlanta. He's just not been as good as he can be against the Braves. And so I think that's definitely something there. If we had to do final predictions here, the series starts in just a couple hours, four games. Philly is up five games in the division right now, a four game series. Who are you taking and why?
I'm leaning really hard towards a split just because it seems like that's just like the easy thing to say. So I'm not going to make that my answer because I think that's a cop out.
Yeah. You had to pick someone to win this series, 3-1, 4-0, who were you picking and why? There we go. No splits.
I'm going to go with the Atlanta Braves. And the reason behind it is I think they have more to lose in this one. I think that they're working really hard to get themselves up into the National League race. They've looked really good against Minnesota. Philly is trying to get back, and we've mentioned it on the show, asking if they are back, but they still have a lot of flaws, and we're starting to see that. So give me Atlanta, 3-1. I'll even go on a wild bet here and say the one game they lose is the finale. So there's a possibility that we see a possible Atlanta sweep going into Sunday Night Baseball.
Ooh, okay. I feel like Atlanta always loses on Sunday Night Baseball. They never seem to. It's always like it's either Bryce Elder or it's the end of a series and they get beat. If I had to pick a winner, and this is tough, I think I'm also going to go with Atlanta, and people are going to say, well, you're right about Atlanta. It's a cop-out, but Philly has struggled to score runs with the exception of those two Kansas City wins, right? Those two 11 run games. You can't ignore that, but of that, they've struggled to score runs. Even the wins against Houston, 5-0 and 3-2 in extras. And then they almost got no hit on that final thing. You flip around and, you know, in Atlanta, 10-6, 8-6, 5-1 against Minnesota. Atlanta's coming in hotter. I feel like some of these pitching matchups lean slightly Atlanta's way. And I think, like you said, Atlanta has more to lose here, right? Atlanta needs these more. And for all that it matters, Philadelphia has been in the lead all season and has for some reason not been able to put Atlanta away. And it's been long enough. They've played three series. Atlanta's won all three of them. I'm beginning to feel like this is one of those things that we can't quite quantify, that there's just something missing when these two teams are matching up in the regular season, because postseason's different. As we know, Philly has owned Atlanta the last two postseasons.
Easily.
But for some reason in the regular season, this year specifically, there is something about this Philly team where they cannot get it done against Atlanta. And I'm worried that having a large division lead, having five games of a lead, I don't know if the environment of Citizens Bank Park is going to have the same intensity as it did in the postseason and be something that can push these guys over the top. And I don't have that faith. And I think that's why if I'm picking a team to win, it's Atlanta 3-1 over Philly in the series. Honestly, I feel like the most likely outcome is a split, but we said we weren't going to pick splits here. So if I had to pick a team to win, I'm picking Atlanta 3-1, acknowledging and understanding that kind of goes against against probably what the odds would be in Vegas, but that's just kind of what it feels like, because Philly hasn't really shown the ability to do it, to put Atlanta away in the regular season. Postseason's different. They haven't done it in the regular season, and I don't know if they're going to do it now.
Yeah, leave the data in this one today for the Nerdcast on Sunday night. I'm with you. I'm going with my gut, and I think the same thing if I had to pick, not a series split. But because I think it's going to be such a close series, I'll even go and say one more thing before we close out. Every single one of these games will have a save opportunity in the ninth inning. That's how close all these games will be.
No blowouts. You heard it from Christian. This has been a special happy hour edition of First Pitch. If you're listening on audio, do us a favor. Subscribe to the feed. Leave us a 5-star review. Means a ton. If you're listening on YouTube, watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. Hit the notification bell so you know when we drop more episodes. Until tomorrow morning, when we'll have another standard MLB recap episode for you, this has been